In the last 2 weeks, we began our study of the application to husbands that are given in that verse. When Peter says husbands are to live with their wives, he's really talking, if you remember, about how the husband perceives his own marriage and how it is he regards and considers his wife, and whether or not his marriage is indeed his first priority, or whether he's reversed this charge and insists instead that his wife alone be the one to adapt and change and move toward him. Tonight we move on in the verse to discover that there is a basic fundamental way that Peter qualifies his instruction to husbands as they are to live with their wives. Peter goes on here to say that not only are husbands to live with their wives, but they are to do so in an understanding way. Or as other translations express it, to live with their wives according to knowledge, or even according to consideration. In other words, Peter is describing here, gentlemen, the successful marriage formula. The Greek word he uses here is kata egnosis, which means according to knowledge or according to wisdom. And here is why that is so important. You know, young husbands, and some of us stay young most of our married lives, young husbands are very typically self-confident going into marriage. Have you ever noticed that? Very confident going into marriage, they've got a handle on what it's going to take to have a good marriage. In fact, where others have failed, they are sure they have invented the wheel properly. And they don't have to be coached, thank you very much. They don't have to be directed as to how to be good husbands. But as tensions and challenges increase, especially with those first few years, they will discover that they feel much less secure and much more doubtful, that they have the answers anymore. And often due to that growing sense of insecurity, of unknowing, a man will be tempted to give up. When he's not rewarded, when things don't go well, when he tries everything he can think of and it doesn't seem to bring success, he often is tempted just to lay it aside. Knowledge is very important to a man. I'm not saying it isn't to a woman, but we're focusing on the husbands here. You know, whether he's learning a new job or whether he's working with a new tool, once he understands, once he gets it, once he learns the ropes, as we say, he will be much more confident. He'll be much more productive. And every new husband is prone to think that even if he has to, if he has something to learn, once he gets it, he learns what, you know, what flowers she likes, right? What perfume she likes, what habits of his she doesn't like, what he can or can't do, what he must or must not do. Once he understands, once he gets it, he thinks everything's going to be okay. But the understanding that Peter is talking about is not the kind of formula for maintenance that a husband will go to or follow whenever things begin to break down and by which he can try to make things run smoothly again. Peter is calling the young husband to understand not just the wisdom of his marital situation, but rather of what the Bible teaches him regarding what it really means to be a man of God, and that a man of God that his wife needs him to be and will need in the future. In other words, Peter wants the husband to grow to have a knowledge as opposed to ignorance of the Scriptures' teaching and of the worldview that the Scriptures paint. To have wisdom as opposed to foolishness, as therefore to how to conduct himself in his own marriage. So what knowledge, what wisdom must a husband have? The first thing he must have knowledge of is himself. This brings us back to Psalm 130 that we meditated on earlier. The husband must be aware of his own sinful character. One of the things that modern forms of dating encourage and tempt a man to do is to be not honest about himself before others. A man's ego wants to be stroked, and he will want to project an image that promotes nothing but strength and ability and prowess in order to make him as attractive and as trouble-free as is possible. And the worst part about projecting such lies to others is that the man then begins to believe it is true for himself. Hey, that is who I am. And after such a man is married, his weaknesses and his sins are exposed to his wife. And because his pride is so very valuable to him, the husband begins to get threatened by a wife who knows him for who he truly is, for all she has come to know about him and all that she might do to harm him. The Christian man must learn to practice a renouncing of such pride. He must come to grips with the depths of his own sinful character and the wickedness of his own heart and repent of it often, and struggle to be done with his pride and his ego rather than try to protect them. He must live by the formula of Proverbs 3, which tells him not to trust his own heart, not to lean on his own understanding. Instead, the thing he must keep in mind is his need for the gospel of Jesus Christ himself and of the continual sustaining grace of God that holds him up. That leads us to the second thing he has to have knowledge of, and that is he has to have knowledge of God. He has to have an intimate relationship with his Lord. People used to commonly use a scriptural expression to describe the way a man conducted himself, and saying that if he conducted himself in a certain manner in public, if he obeyed the moral law, if he lived according to his conscience, if he treated others as he would be himself treated, then he feared God, they said. What the scriptures actually mean by fearing God is that the man is aware that he lives his entire life, coram Deo. He lives before the face of God. God watches him at every move. That he is cognizant of his duty before God and the code of conduct that he as a Christian is supposed to have in order to be a true disciple of Christ. To live in the fear of God means to know his God, to be in relationship to his Lord, to be a man who reads his Bible, who believes it, who respects it, and follows its direction for his life in all the ways that he can, to be a man who prays to his Lord and waits diligently for the answer. This includes his attention to the wisdom that is literally given in the scriptures. The literature of wisdom that we find in the Proverbs, for instance, given to him, given directly to the man, to the young husband, if you will, almost directly, in the first, especially in the first 8 chapters of Proverbs. That is not only for young husbands, it's for fathers to teach their young sons. You can do no better than to go through Proverbs 1-8 with your sons again and again and again, teaching them what it means to walk before God in fear, to follow the guidance of God through all of the issues and all of the circumstances of his life. At the same time, the man who fears God is also the one who expects the blessings of God. Psalm 100 says he is like a tree planted by streams of water. That's Psalm 1, I'm sorry. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The man who fears God not only seeks to follow Christ as a disciple, but he also lives with the assurance that because God is good for his word, that the promise of blessing will come to him, both in this life and in the life to come. It's with the understanding and the wisdom of God that he lives his life as the man of Psalm 1, avoiding the thinking and the practices of the world deliberately because they are the wrong things to think. They are the wrong things to do. And his God has told him, and now he knows for sure. And he lives by the hope, then, of Psalm 23, verse 6, that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that he will know the favor of God in this life and in the life to come. And then thirdly, finally, he needs knowledge of his wife. But notice the priority. You want a good marriage, husbands? You go to God. You look yourself in the mirror. Before you say, what formula do I have to satisfy this woman? You look to God. You look to yourself. But you also need to know your wife. You know, Peter is not thinking here that husbands might not be familiar with their wives. That's hard to do when you're married. Or to believe the joke that men like to tell each other about women in general, that they are simply beyond understanding. What Peter is telling us is that above and beyond all individual traits, any specific woman might have concerning herself, is the necessity of his understanding of his wife according to what the Bible says about her. This consists of three things. The first thing the Bible says about his wife is, and we've stressed this principle repeatedly already, that the woman is made in the image of God and is precious. That she shares in that preciousness of God with you. When the husband forgets that, he will often take advantage of the wife or the marital relationship. He will act in a way that treats her as a mere object, a mere commodity, a slave, a tool, somebody in his life that he has to work around, that he has to ignore, that he has to keep in the dark. To be taught and reminded of the wife's value before God, you see, will curb those selfish motivations in the husband and remind him of his charge to regard the wife as his own body, not hating her, but nourishing her and cherishing her and drawing his pattern and his model for devotion and care from Christ himself, as we talked about last week. The second thing that the Bible says about his wife is to know that of her own fallen nature. We've already examined this as well, too. Not only is the wife subject to the sinfulness of sin, but also she is going to be affected in many ways that will be very different than the kinds of temptations and sins that affect her husband. The things she is tempted with and the things that she is tempted by come from directions that are absolutely unique to her. And her temptation towards sins are also unique to her. And therefore, they are not things the husband can naturally identify with because he's not tempted by those things. And those sins do not lead him in the same direction they lead her. The most significant of those temptations will work on her soul in two ways. There is the world's appeal first to her vanity. That is how she feels about how she looks. About her sense of appeal or outward attractiveness, which will then be connected to her own sense of worth. And then there is the sense of absolute loneliness that clutches at her sense of security, tempting her to feel terribly insecure, untrusting, empty, isolated, abandoned. A husband must learn not just to avoid conflict with these areas in his wife's life or confront her about them with an impatient harshness, but to learn, even perhaps by trial and error, and every husband learns by trial and error, how it is he can minister to her and benefit her while he remains at her side. The third thing the Bible teaches that the man must know about his wife is of her weakness. Now, this is spoken directly by Peter later in this verse, and we will have yet to address it later in our study. But for here, for tonight, it's enough to remind the husband that such a weakness in his wife does exist, and it needs to be protected, it needs to be guarded, it needs to be defended. It's a weakness in the wife that is not a defect in her person. It's not a defect in her character that cannot be helped, but it is something so necessary to the marriage bond that it literally makes a marriage possible. And so it must be understood, and it must be regarded. And therefore, it is a reminder to the husband of his need for him to be there for his wife, to make his life with his wife, to learn how he is to be an understanding mind toward her. Many men enter into marriage thinking that there is nothing that's going to require any change, any effort, any need to be confronted about issues, but rather that in a good and happy marriage, everything just happens naturally, that it's going to just roll right fine and everything's going to be great and there's not going to be any issues. In other words, more husbands live with their wives in misunderstanding, and as a result, often are completely lost as to how to find that answer to their problems. The Bible is the place to go for those answers. There is no one else to go to. There is nowhere else to go. You need the knowledge of this to live in your home with blessing. Do not look for easy answers. Do not look for quick remedies, men. The husband who seeks to first find himself, seeks to understand God, will find it much more accessible to find the understanding that he needs for his wife. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom and direction that are given in the scriptures regarding marriage, and how much we need this teaching. And we pray, O Lord, that you would move the hearts and minds of husbands to search your word and to heed it and to obey it to their own benefit in their own home, to the blessing and the encouragement and the strengthening and the sheltering and the protecting of their wives. We thank you that you care enough for us, that you give us this. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.